Hello and welcome to Mike's Camera Action. Joining us, we have Carl and...
Alex, hello.
And this week, we've been watching The Mummy. That's the 1999 Brendan Fraser, directed movie.
Back when Brendan Fraser was...
Had a career?
Yeah, it was super popular.
And was a person who you had to pay a lot of money to get that then.
The Renaissance is happening.
The Renaissance?
Yeah, it's the return of Brendan Fraser.
What's he been in lately?
Doom Patrol.
Doom Patrol?
Yeah, he's in Doom Patrol.
I have no idea what that is.
It's like a TV series based on a DC comic book.
Okay, sounds cool.
He plays Robot Man.
Robot Man?
Oh, Timothy Dalton is also in this.
Really?
That makes me happy.
That sounds like the cast of Suicide Squad 2, just like Polka Dot Man, Shark Face Dude or whatever.
Alan Tudyk plays Mr. Nobody.
Oh. They got Alan Tudyk and Timothy Dalton and Brendan Fraser in this.
Yeah, it seems like a decent film.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, it's also like sort of connected to Titans, the TV series.
Okay. What's that coming out on?
I don't know. I don't think it's out here yet.
Okay, that makes sense. But anyway, The Mummy.
I like it.
Yeah?
I like The Mummy. It's like that peak 90s sort of action-adventure film based in somewhere that's not like... It's like Indiana Jones, but action-y.
I mean, Indiana Jones is pretty action-y.
Yeah, but this is, more supernatural rather than, like...
Also, once again, Indiana Jones is pretty supernatural. I get what you're saying.
Not as supernatural as this. Like, Indiana Jones, he's mostly fighting Nazis.
Yeah, he's not literally doing battle with, ancient Egyptian priest god dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Not like... aliens.
Proof that aliens did not build the pyramids. Or did they? You'll have to see the other two sequel movies to find out.
One of them takes place in China.
Really?
Yeah, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor takes place in China.
That's the third one, right?
Yeah.
What? I mean, Dragon Emperor makes sense, but that's not The Mummy anymore, is it?
Yeah, no, he was a mummy.
mummified by the Egyptian method in ancient China.
There are other methods of mummification, Carl, not just the Egyptians did it.
Yeah?
Yeah, a lot of different cultures mummified their dead.
What about Scorpion King? Is that still in Egypt?
Yeah, Scorpion King still.
Okay. Three was them breaking away from the usual format.
Yeah, you got to remember. There's a line in the third one where... So the third one is basically his son, which appears in the second one, is fighting, is an adult now. Mm-hmm. And they're fighting this mummy together. And Brendan Fraser says something about fighting a mummy. He's fought more mummies. It's like... You've only fought one more than me. It's like, yeah, twice. Because they're both Imhotep.
Ah.
Yeah, the bad guy in the second one is also Imhotep.
Oh, I didn't... Okay. Because I haven't seen this movie in a long time. It's been probably at least a decade. And I don't know if I've even ever seen the sequels. I've just seen bits and pieces.
I saw Tomb of the Dragon Emperor in the cinema.
Really?
Yeah. I like the mummy movies.
Fair.
Haven't seen the Tom Cruise one though.
Yeah, that we'll talk about that in a bit, I think.
Yeah,
that'll be fun.
But yeah, so that's a bit of background on the mummy movies. Oh, Rachel Weisz also does not appear in the third one.
Does she appear in the second?
Yeah.
Okay, so she is in it.
Yeah.
Again. Okay.
Yeah, her character still appears in the third one though. They just recast her. They pull good old Rhodey and.
Yeah, except she's not. I mean, I'd imagine that for her, it's not quite the same as Rhodey, where it's like she started asking for way more money. It was more of, oh no, she's an actual celebrity now.
Yeah, probably.
We can't get her for the third in this crummy trilogy of movies.
Yeah. Anyway, where was I going with this? Yeah, so The Mummy starts off and it's got Brendan Fraser and Benny.
Fucking Benny, the worst human being in the world.
Yeah, the worst human being in the world. They're fighting in some battle.
Yeah.
And then they end up in Hamunaptra.
Yep.
A mythical city where nobody certainly should know where it is, and the only way you know where it is if you've been there.
The ancient lost city of death that everyone just kind of rocks up at.
Yeah.
Like, it's been lost for millennia. Oh, here it is.
Yeah, but the whole... Part of the thing about Hamunaptra is that, you can't find it unless you've been there.
Right.
It's they just happen to be there at the right time to find Hamunaptra. And so, yeah, that's why when Rachel Weisz's character goes looking, she finds out that he knows where Hamunaptra is.
Yeah.
So she has to rescue him from some weird prison thing.
What was he even in that prison for? Did they at any point establish that, why he was being held by...
I think he was just captured in the battle or something.
Okay.
I think, or like maybe he was just a weird dude.
Because we don't see that at any point. We just see him like running off from the, like these guys just bail and leave, and then that's the end of it.
Yeah, he's just going bang, 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 and then he runs. Yeah,
maybe one moment he's the cowboy just shooting all these dudes on horses, then the next he's in a prison.
Yeah.
With way longer hair.
It could be due to the battle and stuff, like maybe. Taking him as a prisoner.
Mm.
Yeah. I don't know if there's ever a reason. I think it's sort of like throwaway lines.
There's a lot of throwaway lines in this, so I probably missed one or two in there.
And so, but the guy only, he only gets released because, you know, the greasy man running the prison agrees to go with them.
Yeah, and then immediately fucks it up. He's just like, I hate bugs. Now let me go sneak off and steal some bug-looking gold. Oh, wait, there's actually bugs in this? And then he dies.
Yeah, then he dies. He
just bashes his head and then dies.
Yeah, no. And then, so this is where the movie actually starts kicking off, where the supernatural stuff starts.
Yeah, because Rachel Weisz's character, Evelyn, and what was it? Yeah, Evelyn Carnahan? Basically decide, hey, look, ancient evil book of undeath. Let me read from the ancient evil book out loud.
Yeah.
What a brilliant idea.
But you've missed like one of my favorite lines.
Yeah.
Is so when they're going on the boat towards the where you need to go to get to Hamunaptra.
Yeah.
Like you need to be a certain spot at like sunset to see it.
Yeah.
They run into a bunch of Americans and
who are also on the way looking for it.
Yeah, and Benny again.
Yeah. Fucking Benny.
He reappears. Just it's like a cockroach.
Yeah. It's like herpes, you can't get rid of him.
And my favorite bit is that like the boat like is sinking and they all get off and everyone makes it out fine, including Jonathan, who's Evelyn's brother, who is also kicking about.
Just tagging along. No. Does he have any real skills, Jonathan?
See, the issue is that Jonathan actually reads hieroglyphics.
Yeah?
Yeah, at the end, he's the one to read the hieroglyphics.
He does, but he's not... the thing is, he's just not as good as Evelyn at it.
No,
so I really don't know why he's along.
Evelyn's really good at it, but Jonathan, I think, is tagging along just for the fun. He wants treasure.
Yeah, I get that, but what skills does he bring to the table?
He's like a shittier version of Evelyn and O'Connell together.
Yeah, he does like nothing better than anyone else.
He's the comedic relief, leave him alone.
Yeah, fair.
That is literally his role, provide comedy.
That is literally his role. You're not kidding.
And so, you know, my favorite line is that like, because they've taken horses with them and they're like, and like the American's like, we've got all the horses. And O'Connell's like, you're on the wrong side of the river.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, shit.
God damn it, he's right. Yet they still get there at the same time.
Yep.
God damn it.
To be fair, they had horses.
Yeah, that's
probably a river crossing at some point.
I got a question. I don't know if you're going to be able to answer this, but there's a moment when they finally meet up outside Hamunaptra.
Yeah.
And you've got the Americans all on horseback, and then a party of four here on camels.
Yeah.
Who would actually win that race? Because I perceive camels as being a lot slower than a horse. But it is sand.
Yeah, they might have an advantage. I don't know.
I was sitting there like, hang on, those guys are on horses and these are just like, that scene looks so slow as they're just trotting along on camels. Like they're not even moving that quickly.
Camels or horses faster? Let's go.
Camels or horses faster?
Okay, a slightly slow, 20 to 25 miles per hour, whereas horses have an average gallop speed of 25 to 30.
Yeah. So unless camels have some sort of innate ability to walk over sand better than a horse... I feel like the Americans should have been in first, which really made no difference because they didn't really stick to any kind of bet.
Probably camels are probably more stable though in the sand.
I'd imagine so. Yeah.
Yeah. So it probably evens out really.
Okay. I was just curious about that. That'd be interesting.
Be careful, they spit.
Asshole camels. Those bits of comedy in there make it seem like this is a kind of almost spoof on adventure movies at times.
Yeah, I know.
Like, there's just right in the finale when Rick O'Connell and Evelyn are just having that, like, sharing that kiss, and you've got Jonathan, like, breaking it, like, cutting between the two, like, those two, and he's sitting there like, what about you, camel, fancy a kiss? It's just like, what the fuck? This is supposed to be, like, what would be the ending of the movie, and he's just like, let me just, like, throw this out there.
Yeah, he's the comedic relief. He's going to have the final line.
God damn it.
My favorite thing, though, is like, no treasure. And then there's the classic, you know, they've actually, the saddlebags are full of treasure.
Mm.
But yeah, no, so the movie kicks off into the supernatural. Evelyn reads from the book because she has that weird tourney thing that she got from...
Yeah, the key.
Yeah, she got the... Where'd she get the key from? I forget.
Jonathan stole it from Rick. Yeah, that was actually it. Like, he steals it from O'Connell in a bar.
Yeah.
And then just gives it to Evelyn.
It's like,
which, sure. Like, that's the reason why they go to O'Connell, like, to Brendan Fraser's character.
Yeah.
In that weird Egyptian prison or whatever, they're just like, oh, right, yeah, this is the guy I stole it from.
Yeah, and then there's the curator who, like, burns the map to Hamunaptra.
Yep, because he's actually a member of a secret society that's supposed to keep it hidden.
Yeah, I was like, okay.
Surely he could have done better to keep it hidden than to go, oh, oops, I've burnt it. Okay, pat it out. That's fine. God damn it.
Yeah. So
they'll never find it. They've got half a burned map. Surely they won't. Surely I didn't burn the part that said, don't awaken the evil king of undeath.
Yeah, don't read from the Book of the Dead.
Yeah, don't read from the Book of the Dead. You'll wake him up. Oh, whoops. I've burned that part. Oh, well.
Yeah.
I'm sure they won't use only the part that tells them where to find the book.
Yeah, and even then it's wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. All the scriptures are wrong anyway. It's just like, underneath here, you'll find the Book of Amun-Ra. Except it's not the Book of Amun-Ra, it's the Book of Death. Don't read from it.
Yeah. No, because the whole thing was is that the people who originally translated it, translated it wrong, the Bainbridge scholars. And then she's like, then at the end, like then like towards the climax, Evelyn retranslates it and be like, ah, beneath Anubis, Horus, not Anubis.
Whoops.
Whoopsies.
Casual mistake by what would be a whole team of scholars that can now be fixed within, you know, 30 seconds while being put under heavy pressure.
Yeah. You know what's really messed up, though?
Mm.
Is that the fact that they opened the damn coffin made everything worse.
Yeah.
Like, it was locked in.
Yep.
Even if you'd read from the book and awakened him, he was still locked in.
He'd just be scratching out more and adding more fingernail scratchings to the wall.
Yeah.
That'd be it. Yeah. True.
Yeah.
Unless there's some sort of like, no, yeah, you're right. I can't picture him being unlocked. Yeah. It's basically a failsafe. Like, the reason they have two different things that lock is so you need to unlock both of them in order to unleash the horrible evil.
But the issue is that they lock the things with the same key.
Yeah, they're all the same key. And then they also lock the Book of Life to actually kill the horrible monster.
Yeah, it's like, all right.
It's like, gee, thanks. Now that he's got the key, what are we going to do about that? We can't read from the book.
Have you ever thought about a pick in the lock? Also, what's the lock?
You could make a cast of that lock, surely.
Yeah, like, surely. It's just a metal thing.
Yeah, it's just a little... Hell, I mean, I don't even see it, like, click into it and hit a series of pins. No, they press it into the lock and rotate. That's it. Surely you could just force it, like just, oh yeah, you grab it and pull and turn, right?
Yeah, like there's no like pressure on it,
it's basically an Egyptian Allen key, like just get a flathead screwdriver and jam it in there, that'll turn the thing.
You just like snap the lock off.
Yeah.
Just get a crowbar.
That'd do it. Like, surely a saw would do the trick.
Just like jam.
Just, yeah, hacksaw off the two big locks on the book, problem solved.
Yeah, you just jimmy the lock a little, and it's like, oh, pop, there we go.
Surely the Egyptians weren't that good at locksmiths back then. They just made giant fucking keys.
Yeah, it's like, why does the key need to be that big? And why does it need to, like, unfold?
No, of course it doesn't need to. They're just trying to be showy about it. They're like, well, we can't just put Imhotep in a coffin. We have to make him, like, some dumbass key that someone will inevitably find because it's enormous.
Yeah, it's like, just too bad they didn't make a latch where the only way, where, like, you could throw the key in with Imhotep and just lock it that way.
So he'd just be stuck in with his own key.
Yeah. I think that'd be the worst kind of torture.
to have the only way to open his coffin be stuck in with him.
Yeah.
That would be pretty cruel. Although that implies that you want to throw on another layer of torture on top of having his insides scooped out while apparently being alive and also buried with a bunch of flesh-eating bugs.
Yeah, the whole mummification alive thing doesn't make sense to me.
I didn't get that at all. They're just like, his priests and him were mummified alive. And I'm like... So did they scoop out his brain and kill him, then bury him? Or did they just bury him, like, did they just wrap him up and bandage it, like, and then bury him? What was the process?
There's a steps to embalming, and...
Yeah, were they embalming his whole crew by just disemboweling them?
Gotta remember, you gotta take out, like, the stomach and the liver and put them into canopic jars.
Yeah, you have to... Imhotep was buried... Or not buried with his canopic jars, but they did have jars.
Yeah.
So surely he was scooped apart, right? And even then, he didn't have any internal organs and had to acquire them from other people.
Yeah.
So surely they mummified him properly.
Surely, apparently.
Yeah, they were supposed to, right?
But they probably just left him his brain, which is annoying, because he should have just taken out of his brain.
Yeah.
Just, and then see what happened then.
Just do the old hot wire up the nose and problem solved.
Yeah.
Which sounds awful.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do?
Sure.
That's what they did.
Yeah, fair.
They also just threw it out. They didn't think it was important.
Oh, did they just throw out the brain?
Yeah, they didn't think it was important.
Oh. Sure, okay. That, sure, yeah. One, science wasn't a thing back then.
I mean, once you're dead, is your brain really that important?
I know. I mean, they let you keep your heart and your
they take those out too.
What did they put in the jars anyway?
I'm pretty sure it was, let me just look that up. I can't remember off the top of my head. I used to be an ancient Egyptian nerd, and now this is bothering me.
You're also technically an archaeologist, right? In the same way my brother's an engineer. Like, you graduated from an archaeology degree.
Yeah, but I didn't do ancient Egypt.
I know, but still, I'm just curious. I was actually curious if you had any, like, knowledge from your archaeology days that you could impart on this and tell us what they're doing wrong or right.
Duh.
No? No idea?
I mean, they didn't mark out grids and when they're doing an archaeological dig, but... Then again, they're not archaeologists. True. They're fucking treasure hunters.
Is that even allowed these days? Like, if you were to bust open like some ancient Egyptian ruin, find all the gold they found in there. What's the ruling on that? Is there like some sort of like international law about busting open a ruin
in Egypt?
Just worldwide, but let's go within Egypt. If
I know in England.
Yep.
In England, if you find a bunch of... There's actually like a treasure act.
Yep.
Where if you find a bunch of gold or something, like within a certain amount, you have to report it to the coroner.
And that's if you dig it up in England.
Yeah.
Okay.
Egypt is probably a lot more stringent.
Yeah, so you don't just go busting into pyramids for the fun of it.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that at all. Like,
preferably Jesus. Don't.
It's just grave robbing. Yeah, I don't know what the ruling is for Australia.
Yep. I don't imagine you'd find much, like, ancient gold relics in Australia.
You wouldn't find a lot of ancient gold relics, but you could find, like, stone tools, pits, and that sort of stuff. And rock art. And of that significance, you'd probably have to report it to the government.
Yep.
A lot of stuff you just have to report to the government these days.
Yeah, I'd imagine that being the case.
Yeah, because you can't just take things.
It's not like National Treasure, where you can just be like, oh, we found the city of gold. I get gold now.
Yeah, that's not how it works.
That's the government. That's the government's gold now, boy.
Yeah, you can't just take treasure, but also a lot of that legislation has come into pass in like the recent.
Not in the 1920s where this movie was based. At that point, it was just like, fuck it, there's treasure to be found.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah, that's basically how they did it.
Which is why you would have had so many explorers at the time. It's just like, oh well, there's ancient wealth to be found.
Yeah, and it's like how stuff like Tutankhamun's mask and stuff ended up in England because they just take it away. But a lot of that stuff has sort of moved back to Egypt.
Yeah?
Yeah, the Egyptians got a bit antsy.
Yeah.
Like, rightfully so, because
that's
their
fair
heritage.
Yeah.
And
the fact that there's more Egyptian like relics and, you know, artifacts of that time in England than there were in Egypt for a long time.
In the British Museum, like, the Greeks are still annoyed that the British Museum has the Parthenon marbles.
Oh.
Yeah, they have them still.
Sure.
They grabbed them off the thing and they were like, we're going to keep these.
Yoink.
Basically, yoink. And so Greece...
That's history for you.
Recently, it's like, throughout history, has been like, give them back. And the British Museum's been like, no.
But they're ours. We found them by right.
Part of the issue has been like whether or not the Greeks had someone to actually display them correctly.
Okay. So they may not have like a museum to facilitate.
They do, I think, now.
Yeah.
But they're still not giving them back.
Okay. Some sort of justification.
Yeah, when
I
it
imagine.
Comes to like this sort of stuff, it becomes really contentious and difficult to like wade through the myriads of like, who owns this?
Yeah.
Are you doing the right thing by giving it back to like the traditional owners of the Greeks?
Yeah.
It's interesting.
That is really interesting.
But yeah, no, they're treasure hunters, so they just take in the treasure.
Yeah, none of that seems really an archaeologist, is it? You've got a librarian, whatever Jonathan is,
drunk.
And then whatever O'Connell is.
Pretty sure O'Connell's like a mercenary.
Yeah, he's just a guy with a gun, I think.
I think
he just happened to be right place, right time, and has a gun.
The other Americans have, I think, an archaeologist.
Yeah, they do. Like, there's a guy with an actual toolkit in there.
Yeah. They have an actual archaeologist. Not that that means much in the 1920s.
That just meant a guy with a pick.
Pretty much.
Someone with a couple of brushes and a couple of chisels.
Yeah. They're more likely to be termed an antiquarian than an archaeologist.
Ah.
So they're more like, this is mine now. Yeah, because there was a period where, like, if you don't write it down, you're not doing archaeology.
Yeah.
you're actually just taking shit.
Fair.
But yeah, so that's what they're doing.
The difference between a grave robber and an archaeologist is whether or not you write it down.
Pretty much.
Wow.
You got to publish it, man.
Ah. Because an archaeologist is still technically a scientist of a kind.
Yeah. Excavation without publication is just destruction.
Huh. Is that something that that gets tied around?
Yeah.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it does. But anyway, back to the movie. Yeah, so like as we were talking about with the organs and stuff, like Imhotep just takes organs from people at various points.
Well, his whole thing is that the curse is that he comes for the people who opened up the Book of the Dead.
Yeah.
So he's chasing after like the four guys who are in the room when they cracked open the chest with the book and the jars in them.
Yeah.
So he's coming after all the jars and like harvesting organs from each of them. Like he takes the eyes and the tongue from one guy. I imagine then after that he just goes like brain, heart, lung, whatever from each people.
Yeah.
Like I'm assuming that's all part of him regenerating is just he has to scoop up bits from people, but we don't really see what individual bits he's taken off people except for eyes and tongue guy.
Yeah.
Which is really freaking disturbing. And then he comes back to finish the job. Yeah. Which is so horrible. Like the guy's already going through the worst experience and then he's just like, oh, by the way, thank you for meeting with this prince, Prince Imhotep. Fuck.
Yeah, my favorite thing though is that Benny manages to live through most of the film.
Fucking Benny. So Benny gets stuck in the room with Imhotep, like the blind, at this point Imhotep's got his eyes and tongue.
Yeah.
But he's stuck in the room with Imhotep, who's coming right for him, and he's just going, and this is part of how he's a horrible person, is he reaches it like down into his shirt and pulls out this like necklace
full of... I wouldn't say Benny's like horrible, he is just a cockroach, like he is just...
Yeah. But the problem is he's just scum.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
He pulls out all these holy symbols.
Yeah, he whips out like a cross and starts like praying at it and he's like, nah, that didn't work. He whips out like one, I think it's Zoroastrianism's or maybe a Sikh symbol and starts like shouting out from that. He whips out a little figurine of Buddha and starts shouting about that and then he whips out the Star of David. And sure enough, that works because it's the slave language to the Egyptians.
Yeah, it's Hebrew.
Yeah. He's like, oh, you speak the language of the slaves is Hebrew. Clearly, you must be one of them. Like, it's like, God fucking damn it. And then it shocks me that Imhotep's like, oh, well, if you're a slave, then I'll pay you in gold. Woody, just get to work, servant.
Yeah, like, he's just going to do what you ask, provided you don't kill him.
Yeah, Benny will probably do it for free if you just don't murder his ass.
Yeah.
That's it.
And then the plagues of Egypt rain down, which is really bizarre, because I don't know why they had to do...
Yeah, that was really strange to me that... One, I think at some point they said the 10 plagues.
Yeah.
And were there 10 plagues in the Exodus story? I don't remember. But even then, we didn't see 10 plagues in this movie. There were 3.
No.
There was locusts, water turned to blood, and then the people were covered in boils.
Yeah, there were plagues of Egypt. Yeah, there were 10 plagues of Egypt.
10 plagues of Egypt? Okay.
What are the 10 plagues?
One was one I think is toads. One is locusts.
Locusts, boils,
Oh, so they're all out of order.
Storms of fire and darkness.
That does actually happen.
I'm pretty sure the 10th plague doesn't happen.
No, the 10th plague doesn't happen in this movie. Go down the list like in order. So locusts.
One second.
And we'll go through what actually does happen and what doesn't.
Let me get the Wikipedia article up.
Sure.
Okay, so there's blood.
Yep, water turns to blood, that happens.
Frogs.
Frogs doesn't.
Small insects.
Yeah, locusts. At one point, there's a plague of them that comes in.
There are flies.
Yeah.
Pestilence of livestock. There's no way you could see this.
Yeah, we didn't see that at all.
Boils.
That happens.
Hail.
We don't see hail.
Locusts.
Locusts.
Darkness.
Darkness does happen.
And the death of all the firstborn of Egypt.
So they got 6 out of 10. 4 they miss that we see of. We don't see all the livestock die.
See, the issue is that I don't like the those plagues were caused by like
by God.
Yeah.
By the Jewish God.
Yeah.
Yeah. not by the Egyptians, which I find very strange that Imhotep causes them.
Yeah, I'm like, what?
Why are the people that you enslaved granting you their plagues? What's going on, Imhotep?
Yeah, I don't know. What's going on, buddy?
That's not the way this works.
This isn't how this works, but you know.
Go ask for Ra's help. Go get Horus and Anubis to give you a hand. Stop appropriating our god, you fucker.
Oh, yeah, there's also no indication that the Israelites ever lived in ancient Egypt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I guess Imhotep is the Christian Imhotep. He's not the ancient Egyptian one.
I'm Imhotep, not Imhotep.
Imhotep.
There's a difference. You're thinking my brother. Who also got buried alive.
There's a whole family of Imhoteps. It's a long line.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
Many
it's...
dynasties. The Christian Imhotep.
God damn it, Carl.
I love this.
But yeah, so there were the plagues and stuff, yep. And like everyone becomes kind of zombie-like, chanting Imhotep, Imhotep. And so they pull out the classic gag of like joining them and like
just walk.
Actually Jonathan
it's
does.
It's just Jonathan. Like they start, they like all this horde just like of people just comes running at him and he just turns around and starts slowly walking away from him going, Imhotep. And then they just join him. They'll just stop shouting and start walking really slowly and chanting with him.
Yeah.
Why?
It's the equivalent of the Toon Force.
Yeah. God.
Just the comedic relief force.
Yeah. That's
it's a gag, so it's funny. It's a ha ha.
This movie gets really genre confused sometimes.
I love it. It's just so good. Like, it gets like super dark.
Yeah.
And then it gets really ridiculous.
It goes like all, either side of the spectrum where we watch someone get eaten alive by bugs and turn into just a like skeletal corpse. And then it goes into that. Or a guy asking a camel for a kiss.
Yeah, it's mostly Jonathan, though.
It's mostly Jonathan.
It's mostly Jonathan. Or Benny, sometimes.
Sometimes Benny. Benny's just a shit.
Yeah, it's like O'Connell, Jonathan, and Benny. But O'Connell has, like, lines, but they're mostly delivered at someone else.
Mm.
Rather than anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, this I like this film, though. Like, it's got, like, the energy to it's, like, really good. And it's really, like, got a good pacing to it.
That's true.
I never feel like I'm sitting there waiting for something to happen.
I don't like the beginning.
Yeah.
I think the beginning boils on way too long. Just the opening where it's like, the curse of Imhotep, let's boil down the entire history of this motherfucker.
Yeah.
I feel like that drags a bit too much, and we don't need to see all of it.
No, but I want to see him eaten alive by scarabs.
Here's the part where we fill his room. But the problem is, it's all CG, and it's all really bad.
Yeah, like
that's it doesn't hold up well at all. To see like the panning shot of Egypt, it's just not good.
Yeah, it's not great, but look, you got to do what you got to do. Like the way that the Pharaoh dies and like the silhouette, I like that.
Yeah. They have a lot of really like violent imagery in this. It's just done by silhouette.
Yeah, and I really like that. Mm. Like, you know, it's a way to get away this get around.
Got to get that PG-13 rating.
Yeah, got to get around the censors somehow.
Yeah.
Can't, like, show a dude just get straight up stabbed, but you certainly can,
You can watch him split in half as you are, you know, if you're watching his shadow on the wall as a mummy holds him up in midair.
I'm pretty sure the only one you see actively die on screen is Imhotep.
I think so. I mean, you see a lot of people, like, get shot or stabbed plenty of times, but it's always, like, completely bloodless. People just, like, blindly firing each other. That's all fine.
Yeah, like, and, like, someone just falling off a horse or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, whereas Imhotep, you actually basically watch him just get stabbed.
Although I, when I was watching it, I noticed, like, he gets stabbed in the gut and he's just holding his hands there. There's nothing, like, on him at all. He's just holding his hand, covering up, like, okay, now this is the part where we couldn't afford makeup, so just go with it.
Yeah.
I've been shanked in, my precious organs. Which, now that once Imhotep becomes mortal, why does he just, why does he strut at the guy with a sword?
Yeah, I don't know.
He's like, oh no, I've been made mortal. Come at me, bro. You know what? I'm going to come at you. Oh, God, I couldn't have seen this part coming, the part where I've been skewered. Oh, I die.
I think there was an element of him not being sure what actually just happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because, like, the ghost thing...
He doesn't immediately just die. That's
no,
part of it.
Yeah, and I think he's like, don't think it did anything.
Mm.
You know, I'm immortal. Okay. Wouldn't have done anything to me.
Fair.
And then he gets shanked. And that's when you, after he gets stabbed, that's when you hear Evelyn say he's mortal now.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, because he's stabbed. Because he's very surprised about the fact that he just got fucking stabbed.
Yeah. Oh no, I've been stabbed by a guy with sword. Which, speaking of guys with sword, Imhotep's priests are fucking useless. When they all show up and he's like, he resurrects all these like mummified priests. They're completely fucking useless. They just sit there and take any kind of damage you throw at them. The best thing they can hope to do is just like lightly grab at you, and that's all they kind of do is just go, ah, gotcha. I don't think they actually kill anybody due to that.
Yeah.
But then, like right towards the end, once they get the Book of Life, suddenly these like Tomb King motherfuckers, like these elite guard dudes with shields and swords show up. And they're actually fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
Because they're like crawling across walls like they're the fucking Xenomorph.
Yeah, but they have swords.
Yeah, and they're jumping all over the place. Like they're actually super athletic and terrifying and carry weapons and are actually able to fight to any reasonable degree. If they'd been dropped out earlier, he would have wiped the floor with everyone. They wouldn't have stood a chance.
Yeah, you know, you got a 1v1. And if it wasn't Big Jonathan,
it's not 1v1. It's
if
like
it wasn't Big Jonathan taking
two.
Control over them, they would have been stuffed.
Exactly. If he'd dropped it sooner, well, before they got the book, they would have been fine. Imhotep would have been raised from the dead and he would have lived forever. Problem solved.
Yeah.
He should really learn to not save his best men for afterward.
Yeah.
You know, use them sooner and get the problem solved easy and done. Problem solved.
You know. Also, I don't know why I thought they were like the Pharaoh guards sort of thing, and I'm like, why are they obeying Imhotep? I thought they'd be trying to kill this man.
I know, they listen to him until it's too late.
Yeah, and then it's like, hey, they're my guys now.
Oops.
Oopsie, stabby stabby.
Just butcher the love of his eternal life.
Yeah, like Christ, that's dark.
Yeah. Well, in all fairness, she murdered the Pharaoh.
Yeah, she deserved
that. She was part of the conspiracy.
Yeah, that's why you don't get involved with the Pharaoh's wife.
Was it wife, daughter?
Mistress?
Someone of import.
Yeah, I don't remember anymore. Let's find out.
Also, the adventuring party here, like O'Connell, all that group, they just burn through people like they're just resources. Every time they try and accomplish anything, someone has to die for it to be done. Literally every time.
Yeah, they're all just NPCs, though, so they don't count.
Like they,
O'Connell, Jonathan, and Evelyn are the only player characters in this.
What about the Egyptian dude who gets the machine gun at the end? Because he actually does live, but he does like the whole heroic sacrifice. Oh, wait, I'm not dead. I was outside for the final fight. Don't worry about me. They put very little effort into saving the Americans who cracked open that chest, by the way. Like any time Imhotep came for one, he just shows up and goes, a yoink. Like no one was protecting those guys, even though he had to specifically chase after them.
Oh,
like Brendan Fraser's just like, all right, we're going to leave you two alone. Have fun.
You know, this film made $415 million.
Wow.
Yeah,
pretty good.
Of an $80 million budget.
Wow. Now I see why it got the sequels.
Yeah, it was 17 weeks filming.
Good God.
They filmed mainly in Marrakesh, Morocco.
Oh, that makes sense. I get the architecture. Very pretty.
Yeah, they also filmed in the Sahara.
Yeah, that would make sense with all the desert shots. That would actually surprise me that they did shoot in the desert, in the Sahara. That's cool on them.
Good old special effects were made by Industrial Light and Magic, but
usually
what is it these days?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, it's got a good cast, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he was in the French Foreign Legion. That's O'Connell.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, it makes sense then, yeah.
That explains why he's there after the Great War. Like, the one British person who's still left behind. The one guy at the Air Force.
Yeah, you know what's amusing?
Shoot.
The producer offered the role of Rick O'Connell to Tom Cruise.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
No way. Then The Mummy 2017 is a dream come true.
Yeah. Also offered it to Brad Pitt, Matt Damon, and Ben Affleck.
And they got stuck with Brendan Fraser.
No, the director, they were impressed with the money that George of the Jungle made and thought, like, Brendan Fraser would be all right.
Huh.
And he was. Like, I would admit,
He does just find this role. This is pretty much like his... This is pretty much like the quintessential Brendan Fraser role. It's him in, like, an action-adventure movie with a bit of comedy to it.
Yeah, the character doesn't take himself too seriously, otherwise the audience can't go on that journey with him.
Yeah.
And I agree, it does. Like, he doesn't take himself too seriously, and that's why it's amusing to watch him do things.
Yeah.
But, you know,
I absolutely get it. It's very 90s, this movie, like, because of that.
The actor who played Imhotep, Arnold Vosloo, who's from South Africa, understood the approach, and he's like, if only I could play it completely straight. Like, from Imhotep's perspective, it's a skewed version of Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
And that's how he was playing it. And it worked. Like,
that's fair.
It's like in Muppet's Christmas Carol.
Yeah, where...
Scrooge only works because he's playing completely straight.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
true. He's not being a wacky character that the Muppets are.
He's just Scrooge.
He's Scrooge McDuck. Yeah. He's not Scrooge McDuck.
Scrooge McDuck.
He is Ebenezer Scrooge.
Yeah.
So, you know, he is like gone full straight. And that's how this film works, is because, you know, you've got like Jonathan, who's like
ridiculous comedian.
Kermit the Frog, basically.
Yeah. And you've got Evelyn, who is the clumsiest human being on the planet.
Yeah.
Manages to ruin everything somehow.
And then you've got Imhotep, who's playing this completely straight, and it works.
That's fair. I hadn't thought of that, but it's true.
Yeah. I always feel like in films like this, you need that straight character.
That's one of my favorite things about Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Is Ronan the Accuser takes it completely seriously. So when Star-Lord's dancing next to him, he's just like, "What are you doing?"
Yeah.
He has the moment where he's just like, I don't realize I'm in a movie.
Yeah. The only thing I also agree with it being like not completely straight is in Looney Tunes Back in Action, which is another Brendan Fraser film. The only person that takes this relatively straight is what's her name's character? The female lead.
Okay.
Brendan Fraser's character is playing really whack job.
Yeah.
Like the whole thing though is he's Brendan Fraser's stunt double.
Yeah, his character is by definition wacky.
Yeah. Whereas what's her face is a studio exec for Warner Brothers.
Yeah,
and then you've got Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck just playing each other off, and it's like, what?
That's fair.
Yeah,
you gotta have a straight man. That's the role.
Yeah, you've got to have a straight man.
Yeah,
and like the villain in Looney Tunes Back in Action is not a straight man.
No, he is ridiculous. He is the wackiest. He's probably somehow weirder than Daffy Duck and Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, Steve Martin.
Yeah, that is an incredible actor. That.
Yeah, I love him. We should do Looney Tunes Back in Action.
Yeah, we should look into it sometime.
Yeah, it's a fun watch. But yeah, anyway, where were we going? Yeah, so like the idea that like some of the characters in this film are playing it straight than others. Like not to say that this is a fully comedic film. But
no, it's not. It's got its moments.
Yeah, but I definitely feel like it fits well the like action adventure comedy genre.
Yeah, I'll give you that much. Yeah. Do we want to start talking about what next week's movie is?
Yeah, let's talk about next week's movie.
I think you could probably guess it.
Yeah.
But we're going to be doing The Mummy 2017.
Yeah, we're doing the Tom Cruise Mummy.
Yeah, so this is the one that started the Dark Universe cinematic universe.
Kind of.
It's the one that... supposed to be. It was supposed to be like the third or second movie in that series.
Yeah, Dracula Untold, which did terribly.
Yeah, but they dropped that shit and said, nah, that's not happening.
I didn't even see Dracula Untold.
From what I understand, not good. And didn't make much of its money back. So they kind of just... swept it under the rug and went and tried to start again with The Mummy.
Yeah, see, this is the issue I have with everyone trying to make these universes in terms of films. Don't.
The Mummy hadn't even come out yet, and they'd already cast like everyone in this movie in like the next 20 movies.
Ah, so it's DC's problem.
Kinda. They had like a whole. I'll have to show it to you sometime, but they had a whole cast photo of like Johnny Depp, Tom Cruise, Javier Bardem, like all these like big name actors. And they're saying, like, this person's Frankenstein, this person's the Swamp Thing, this person's, like, the Invisible Man. And it's like, guys, you've got no plans to actually make these movies. How about you don't fucking cast all of them and give me, like, the whole, cinematic universe shtick and just be like, here's the moment where it crosses over. You know, that would be way more fun.
See, the issue is that that's what the Avengers did.
Yeah.
The Avengers did, oh, wait, here is the Avengers. And everyone.
Avengers was the moment when we go, Iron Man, here it is.
His Iron Man 2, and you're like... hang on.
Yeah.
And then you're like Avengers and you're like, damn.
Yeah.
Avengers.
It trickled in. We started with like the cool movie, like, you know, the good movie, and then worked it up and made more movies that were in that universe over time. And then went, okay, now the crossover.
But like, it's taken 10 years to get to an, like 11
to
years.
Yeah. To get to Infinity War and then 11 to Endgame.
Yeah. Endgame. Mm. And this is like the final bit, like 11 years and what, 20 films?
Yeah. Over 20 at this point. I think Endgame might be the 22nd or 23rd.
Yeah, like ridiculous amount of films.
Yeah.
Like this is a heap of films. And so I don't think anyone's super...
It's much more earned than...
by
the way, here's the cast photo for the Dark Universe Cinematic Universe or the or Justice League's... Oh, by the way, here's our third movie, Justice League.
Yeah, I didn't see Batman vs Superman either or Justice League.
Not great.
I did not think they were worth my time.
Not great. I thought Justice League was better than most of the ones that had come out before, but not great.
I like all the solo films, though. I've really enjoyed their solo films, except for Man of Steel.
Fair enough.
I really enjoyed Aquaman and Wonder Woman.
I thought Wonder Woman and Aquaman.
I'm very keen for Shazam.
Dude, we're totally talking about Shazam when it comes out.
Yeah, when it comes out, we're going to do Shazam.
I definitely want to look into that one. Because
Zachary Levi looks so bizarre.
I actually
he's muscular. I'm like, wait a minute.
He's wearing a muscle suit for sure. Anyway, next week, The Mummy 2017. Join us then.